From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. I'm going to do things a little bit differently this hour. First things first, I'm going to welcome in a couple of my colleagues from City News, because so much of Rochester and Western New York is watching what happened not only in court this morning, but what happened yesterday at the home of Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren. And WXXI and City News have been reporting on this story since that news broke, since police were there at the home of the mayor in Rochester. And we are going to welcome our colleagues in to kind of get us caught up to speed. So, and I also want to let listeners know here, I know that in social media and in so many other places, there's a lot of speculation. We're going to try to stick with what we do know. We can address some common questions people may have, but we're not going to do a whole lot of guessing here. That's not, I think, helpful in this moment because there remain some unanswered questions. Jeremy Mole is the news editor for Rochester City News. All City News' work is all at rochestercitynewspaper.com. Jeremy, welcome. Thanks for being with us here in studio.
Thanks for having me.
And Gina Finelli, a reporter who never sleeps. Nice to have you back here, Gina.
Thanks for having me, Evan.
So let me start with Gina because I know you were one of many journalists out at the scene yesterday in the eastern part of the city where the mayor lives. Take us through what happened and what we know so far there.
So I wanted to start a little bit before sure. I actually got on the scene. I had an interview scheduled with Lovely for a story I was doing on the mayoral race, scheduled for 5:15, and her campaign manager had called me a couple minutes earlier and said, I'm trying to get her on the line. And then a couple minutes later called me back and said, we had to reschedule, something came up. So I was curious what had happened, and then my dad actually called me, and he was watching TV news when they had just shown up on the scene. So he's like, what's going on? So I headed down there and got to the scene, and there was state police that taped off the roads. And they were bringing out containers that they were taking out of the house, and it turned out they had executed a search warrant at the house that was a residence of Lovely Warren.
And my understanding is that police had they spent more than 2 hours on the scene there yesterday.
Just about, yeah.
Okay. So from that point, the questions were, what's the situation with who's going to be charged? What's the allegation as to who is involved in whatever they're saying there is happening? And where else is something happening? Because I know, and we learned in court and from the DA today, this was not the only location something was happening. Is that right?
Yeah, this was a result of a 7-month investigation into what District Attorney Sandra Dorley called a mid-level drug operation with Mayor Lovely Warren's husband, Timothy Grandison, was a part of.
The current allegation is that Timothy Grandison, the husband of the mayor, was involved. There is no allegation that the mayor herself was involved at this point, correct?
Correct, although the District Attorney Sandra Dorley also would not say that she is not part of the investigation as well.
Okay. The charges themselves. Can you take us through the charges?
Yeah, I can walk you through the charges. There's three charges that are pending against Timothy Grandison. Two of them are criminal possession of a controlled substance in the third degree. Basically, they're charges that allege he was possessed 31 grams of cocaine. The third charge is criminal possession of a weapon. They found a firearm in his possession that they claim he was possessing illegally.
Okay. And those are the extent of the charges so far?
So far.
And again, to stress the point, the DA called this a mid-level drug dealing, selling operation? Is that the allegation?
That's accurate, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because this is where I think, number one, my own inexperience, I'll be honest, when I see these kind of numbers of amounts of cocaine, I don't know if it's a lot. I don't know. What was it, 31 grams of cocaine?
Yeah, 31 grams of cocaine is, a little more than an ounce, if to use a measurement that people are probably more familiar with. And that's what, when you talk about criminal possession of controlled substance charges, they usually go by the both the substance and its weight.
Right. Okay. And so part of the reason I was, wondering about the amount is how much is clearly more than possible for recreational use. Mm-hmm. And I also, I was cautioned by people this morning that, sometimes people who use drugs buy a lot to have for their own personal usage. Mm-hmm. That gets into all kinds of speculation. The point is that what the allegations are that it was for use in a drug selling operation, right?
Correct. One of the criminal possession of a controlled substance charges specifically is based on intent to sell. That's something that the prosecutors are going to have to prove.
Right. Are other people arrested and charged in this?
Yes, there are. There were 7 people arrested and charged total, some on charges that are more severe than others. There was a pair of men who were charged with high-level drug counts because they each possessed, one possessed about 1.5 kilos of coke, and the other one had about 0.5 kilo of coke, allegedly.
Okay. Now, in regards to what the mayor herself has had to say, you know, Gino, you're right. It's interesting. You had a 5:15 interview scheduled with the mayor, and literally minutes before, I mean, they apparently were about to get the mayor on the line, and then, boom, all of this kind of comes down. The only thing I've seen was a statement last night from the mayor, and the expectation that we will hear something today. Have either of you heard anything new today from the mayor?
We're still waiting to hear from the mayor.
Yeah, nothing new. And according to Sandra Dorley, she's been trying to get in touch with the mayor through her attorney, and also has not been successful.
That's what the DA said?
Yes.
Okay. The statement from the mayor came through Justin Roy, who's the spokesman for City Hall, and the sum and substance was he was saying, we're as in the dark as anybody else, and we don't know what's going on, kind of. Is that essentially what the mayor's statement said?
That about nails it.
Yep.
Okay. Do we know if the mayor was at the residence when police were there?
As far as I know, as far as what the district attorney had said, her daughter was the only one at the residence at the time. Her daughter was home alone at the time.
Her daughter?
Yes.
Young daughter, I think pre-adolescent daughter. And I think I can speak for everybody when I say, you know, we all hope that she's doing well. And our thoughts go out to the mayor's daughter on this. Now, Timothy Grandison appeared for arraignment today. A couple questions on this. Can you explain the firearm situation, what we know about what the allegation is?
There's a couple of firearm situations.
That's what I thought, yeah.
Timothy Grandison is charged with criminal possession of a weapon for possessing, what does it say in here, a Kel-Tec P-40 handgun. The police also found a semi-automatic rifle in their house that they are not certain if it's Safe Act compliant. So there's no charges dealing with that weapon at the moment. I believe the district attorney said they're turning it over to the crime lab for evaluation.
That is the weapon that was described. I heard it sort of colloquially described as an assault rifle. Is that correct, or do we know?
I haven't seen anything about the make or model of the rifle.
Okay, we don't
rifle.
Know. So that may not be right.
We do know it's a semi-automatic rifle.
Right. Semi-automatic
rifle. It's the same style of rifle as like an AR-15.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know if that's the kind of rifle it was.
Yeah, and a semi-automatic is not necessarily equivalent to an assault rifle.
Right, and an important part of distinction, and those who are enthusiasts will let me know if we get that wrong. And appropriately so, by the way. So there may be something more with that, perhaps, but we don't know.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the district attorney said that the investigation is continuing, and she was pretty blunt. She said more charges are expected.
More charges expected. And, go ahead.
And she didn't specify whether it's against the people who have already been charged or other people.
Initially, there was some confusion or surprise among the public about why it was the state police and not Rochester police who were there yesterday. Can one of you explain why?
The district attorney in her press conference today brought this up. She said the arrests were the end result of a 7-month wiretap investigation. She said originally that Timothy Grandison was not part of that investigation, and he came in, I believe Gino was telling us, four months.
About 4 months in, yeah.
Yeah.
So when Timothy Grandison ends up on the radar of this investigation, Rochester police, probably logically so, mm-hmm. say, hey, this is the mayor's husband. This is the mayor's residence.
Yes. The DA asked the state police to take over so that there wasn't a conflict with the Rochester Police Department.
And I think it's important to note, too, this investigation was a collaboration between different law enforcement departments. So it made it more simple to shift mm-hmm. over and avoid a conflict of interest.
Yeah. And that kind of shift is not unusual when you have public figures or people connected to public figures who are under investigation.
Totally appropriate, sure. The plea from Timothy Grandison was not guilty, and the initially, and you can update me if this has changed, the next court appearance could be June 21st, which is the day before his wife, the mayor, is up for re-election.
Correct.
That's correct.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. You know, we saw a brief statement from Malik Evans, who is a member of Rochester City Council, who is running for mayor against Rochester Mayor Lovely Warren, and his campaign essentially saying, we all have to wait for more on this. I haven't seen any more from the Evans campaign. Have you?
I have not.
Okay. Is there any expectation later today that we'll hear from either police, more from the DA, the mayor herself, or anybody else? Anything imminent?
We are waiting for a statement from the mayor. You know, as you said, Justin Roy, the communications director at City Hall, said she would release something today or make one today. In terms of more from the DA or police, I don't know, Gino, did you get the impression that there was more coming?
I got the impression that there was more coming, but not whether it was going to be today or tomorrow or a week from now or a month from now. I don't know what the timeline is.
Gino, you talked to some neighbors?
I talked to one neighbor, tried to talk to other neighbors, but they didn't really seem very keen on speaking with me.
And you can understand.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, I think, you know, I have to say, I think the city news team does such a great job. I think it having difficult and appropriate conversations, not to be exploitive, but just to understand, you know, sort of how this hits a neighborhood. How would you characterize what you heard from the neighbor you spoke to?
You know, the neighbor I spoke to seemed disappointed and really just kind of sad that this was happening. And he, at that point in time when I spoke to him, we did not know what was happening yet. Nothing was really confirmed. And he had speculated that it had something to do with her husband and pointed back to an armed robbery that he was involved with back in the early, late 90s and recognized that there had been some problems there, but said they were fine neighbors, always waved when they're outside mowing the lawn or whatever, and just was surprised and saddened by it.
Yeah, and I have to say, I mean, I think it's important to be, you know, thorough in reporting, and it's also important to be careful with context here. We live in a society where I think everyone agrees. You want to live in a world where people who have made mistakes, people who have been convicted of crimes, can have the space and the opportunity to build a productive life. And the mayor has talked about this with her husband. She has said she believes he's been a case study in someone who made a mistake in his young years and then made good on it and has become a loving husband and a loving father. So there wasn't any indication in you know his own life leading up to yesterday that anything like this was known. And so I don't want to convict him. I mean, there's mm-hmm. a lot that has to happen here. These are just allegations. But there are a lot of unknowns here. So let me ask both of you, you know, what are the questions? I suppose, you know, if you get a chance to talk to the mayor or when you have a chance to follow up with authorities, what are unanswered questions? Gina Finelli?
Did you know about this? Mm-hmm. I mean, did Lovely know about this? Was she involved in any way? And they seem like they're really difficult questions that I'm honestly not expecting to get answered very soon. But I would like to know. How much did she know throughout all of this? And whether or not it's something that we should have been aware of earlier, of what may have been going on behind the scenes.
Jeremy?
For me, when I look at a case like this, there are other people who have been charged in connection to the same case. I would like to know the rest of the narrative. We've gotten chunks, you know, the facts of what the different people were charged with. I want to know what the broader sort of story was, like what was happening. Was this some sort of, you know, the DA characterized it as a mid-level operation. So what were they doing? What kind of activity? You know, and I'm interested to see what other charges come up and if anyone else is charged.
And just of note there, the district attorney said that she believes there's some kind of familial bond between the people that were involved in this. One of the houses that was raided yesterday, because there was multiple properties that search warrants were executed on, was a property that belonged to Grandison's brother. on Frost Avenue.
Kevin Granison.
Kevin Granison, correct.
So the mayor's brother-in-law.
Yes, and he hasn't
lived at one of the homes. I don't think owns it. Lived at one of the homes. Is that correct?
According to the district attorney, she said, phrased it, it was
his house.
It was his house.
Okay,
yeah.
And so that was one of the other properties raided.
Yes.
So a possible familial operation is what they're alleging.
Mm-hmm.
But still, as you say, Jeremy, we need the opportunity to really understand this in full.
Yeah.
We have kind of pieces of a blurry picture.
Yeah, there's holes in the story we need filled in.
Mm-hmm. And to address a point that some of the mayor's supporters have raised already, you know, last year when the mayor was indicted on felony charges related to essentially campaign funding and finance, of which she is still under felony indictment for in that case, you know, this was that those that indictment came roughly a year before her reelection. And her supporter said, look at the timing of this. You're a year away from election. Well, now we're a month away from election, and some of her supporters have said the same thing. Mm-hmm. It's a question of timing. I'm of the mind where it's important to allow authorities to investigate, and when things progress is when they progress. But I also think it's fair to ask, you know, if there is any concern about timing. And I think the DA said today pretty flatly, it's not about the timing, right?
Right. The DA said that, we're talking about a 7-month investigation, that Timothy Granison didn't even come into it till 4 months into it. He wasn't an initial target. Why they chose to execute the warrants yesterday, that's, something I think that'll eventually become clear is, the grand jury hears the case as an indictment comes up if one comes up. And that sort of thing.
And I also want to point out, because people saw pictures and Gino down at the scene, Max Schulte, of investigators taking bags and some items out. I mean, obviously we don't know what's in the bags. But if we see listed in this set of charges, if we see, 31 grams or, X amount of dollars worth of cocaine, I'm not sure, and you can clear this up what we know, that it all came from one address. We don't. Do we know
right.
that, or do we not know?
So, do you want me to clarify?
Oh,
that?
I'm sorry. The District Attorney Dorley explained that they seized over 2 kilograms of cocaine, and this is across 7 different residences. They seized 60 grand worth in cocaine, over 2 kilos. They seized $100,000 in cash, and they seized some firearms.
Okay.
There was. It's my understanding that the cocaine that was in Granison's possession was obtained in a traffic stop.
Yes.
And then the guns were gotten from his home. So no cocaine, at least that I know of, was taken from his home.
Okay. And I'm glad to clear that up. So don't assume, listeners, that when you see the drugs listed, that, for example, it all came from the mayor's actual residence.
It came from several properties.
Came from several properties that the allegation is were connected in this operation. So there's a lot we don't know. Justin Roy from City Hall did indicate that there would be some kind of an update or a statement from the mayor today. Hasn't come yet. Hasn't come while we've been sitting here. We've sort of all been checking. So the last thing I'll ask both of you is, sometimes when you see a story of this magnitude, sometimes it's the kind of thing where there will have been rumblings for a while or a lot of... This one struck me as a shockwave. I'm not sure anybody saw anything like this coming, but I don't know that I'm wrong. Right or wrong there.
I can sure say that I didn't. Mm-hmm. In a past life, when I was working as a small town journalist in my hometown, there was a high profile case where a few law enforcement officers were charged with possession of cocaine, and that there had at least been a few days of rumblings before that all went down. I hadn't heard anything about this until yesterday, and I haven't spoken to anybody who had heard anything about this until yesterday.
Okay, Gina?
Nor have I. I haven't heard anything about that, about this happening, anything behind the scenes, nothing. However, I will say over the past year and over, just my career as a journalist in general, I'm not really surprised by much anymore. And, it's just you take it as it comes. There's a lot of things that go on in the world that you find out about, and you just, let's get to work. You have to do it.
And I think the mayor deserves every chance to weigh in and explain answers to some of the many questions that you have raised, that the community is raising. She deserves that chance. I hope she takes it sooner than later. I do hope law enforcement acts pretty quickly because, guys, when we look at this, I take the DA's point. They're going to do their work. Investigators will do it. If the charges come, if arrests come, and we're a month from an election or we're a month after an election or a year or 5 years, she says we're not thinking in that way. I take that point, but we are a month from an election. And so the hope that I hear a lot of people expressing is, whatever you got, we got to know what it is because this matters. We are in a deciding period. So do you get the sense that we'll have some answers sooner than later, or at least more of a complete picture, Jeremy?
I don't think so.
No,
not before the primary. And here's why I say that. The prosecutor in court this morning during the arraignment, when he served the defense attorney with a notice that he was impaneling a grand jury, he said he didn't know if that would be if the grand jury's work would be done before the next court date.
Okay, Gino, do you have an expectation then that we may have this may be the last we get for a little while?
My expectations are low, Evan. They're just generally low.
Gino Finelli and Jeremy Mull. Gino's a reporter with City News. Jeremy is the news editor. I want to remind listeners, RochesterCityNewspaper.com for complete coverage. Really, I mean, look, everybody knows, I think I try to make it clear, I'm a big fan of print journalism, period. And that is for our colleagues in the room, our colleagues in other offices and other buildings doing other work. I think print is vital. But the print work we've seen, and in particular with Rochester, CityNewspaper.com and what City News is doing in the last 24 hours is absolutely vital to understanding the full picture of this story. You have experienced coverage and some of the hardest working people in this city. Just really, really so outstanding work, and we are grateful for that. I know listeners feel like this is a big, incomplete story, but that's what it is. And that this is, I think it's important for us to tell you what we do know and not get into the speculation you're already seeing online. Thank you, Jeremy, Gino, great work.
Oh, thank
touch
you.
Back thank again. You. We touch back here when we hear more.